Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for inviting us to be here this morning to worship with you. It's one of the great privileges we have when we are back home to go around the country speaking in different churches and meeting people throughout the whole church. It's a real eye-opener to us what the church is doing in many parts of the country. And thank you for your witness and your work in this congregation. It's a wonderful church you have, wonderful congregation and singing, and it's a joy to worship with you this morning. It's also a joy to be part of the PW service because we know that the PW do a lot for our church, both at home and abroad, and have done for a long time in the church. Where would our church be in missionary work if it weren't for the PW? We thank you for your prayers for us, both when we're abroad and when we are at home. And I want to thank you also for your prayers for Christians the world over, and in particular Christians in Pakistan. They are amazed and encouraged that people 5,000 miles away are praying for them. So keep doing so. Pray that they will be strong in the faith despite persecution. We are in Lahore, which you can maybe just see on that map with an arrow to the right-hand side. It's a city of 8 million people, close to the Indian border. We're just about 15 miles from the Indian border. India is the country that's green on the right-hand side of the map. We are in a college in Lahore, Forman Christian College, the only college in Pakistan that bears the name Christian. It was founded 151 years ago by Charles Forman, and a missionary from the United States Presbyterian Church. And we live in the college in this very nice house, very adequate house, and very comfortable. The college has a lot of greenery around it. You could see the trees and bushes around our house. The whole college is like that, with flowers and birds and well looked after. It's about a site of about 100 acres, so we have plenty of space. We're there at the moment for just half the teaching year. At the beginning, when we went out in 2008, we were for the first 2 years there for the full teaching year, but after the first 2 years, we've just been there from summer, mid-August, until the end of December or early January, and that's the pattern that we're following at the moment. Hilary teaches statistics and Christian studies, and I teach mathematics to the students there. The college has in common with many Pakistani colleges, it has students who are at what would be the equivalent of sixth form here, like a sixth form college, about 2,000 students at that stage. And also it has university degrees. We're teaching on the degree, and there are about 4,500 university students. So about 6,500 students altogether on the site. The day begins for us usually at 6 a.m., but that's much easier there than it is here, because you're usually very glad to get up and have a cold shower in the morning at 6 o'clock. We live in the college grounds, and that gives us time to breakfast, to have our prayer time together, and to walk up to the the science building, which is this building here where we teach. We teach in the top floor, so we climb 132 steps every morning up to the top floor. That's our exercise for the day, and start teaching at 8 o'clock. In Pakistan, personal contact is very important. Pakistan is a very friendly country. Despite all that we hear about it and see on the news, the people are very warm and friendly, and personal contact matters a lot. So it's important when we're walking anywhere in the site to allow an extra 5 minutes or so to stop and chat to people. And conversations and handshakes on the way happen every day. Before we go there, we'll have met and spoken to the gardeners, like this man here, or some of the guards, who this is one of them. We have a team of guards throughout the college, day and night. But that's common in Pakistan, everywhere. We're always conscious that outside and inside the class, we're transmitting a view of life, not just an academic subject. And we're conscious of that wherever we are, here, whatever, whoever we are, at home, as teachers, as passers-by, we're witnesses to our Lord Jesus Christ all the time. And given the color of our skin in Pakistan, people read that as Christian. So we're always conscious that we're a witness to Jesus Christ in everything we do. A classroom in Pakistan is very like it might be here. You can see the classes are a nice size in the college. They try to keep the classes to a maximum of about 35, 40. And this is a more advanced class, so there's only about 20 students in that. There's one big difference, though, you'll notice. Students in Pakistan compete to sit at the front. They're not Presbyterians. And that's really because, again, of this personal relations thing in Pakistan. Students want to relate to their teacher, and they like to be close, and they like to be close to each other. Of course, a teacher encourages a class to work together and help each other, and also has to set boundaries for the class. The personal nature of life in Pakistan means that working together is almost natural. It's unusual to be alone in Pakistan. So doing your own work can be an unusual experience for students. They might never have done that before. And copying is not regarded in the same way as it is here. If a friend or a relative asks you to see their work, asks to see your work, rather, it would be considered a dishonor not to show them your work. And it would be a dishonor to ever admit that anyone had seen your work. So coupled with that, there's a fear of, a financial fear of failing examinations, because they know that their family have probably spent everything they have to send them to the college and can't afford to spend money in an extra term if they should fail their examination. We're constantly encouraging students to combine support with each other with gaining confidence in doing their own work. Combine learning from each other to presenting their own work for assessment. All the time, we're trying to establish honesty and integrity as part of the college values. Of course, we have to show integrity ourselves. We who have been forgiven must show forgiveness to others. And to be, we have to be fair and open with students and willing to admit if we're wrong.
To cope with this habit of copying, Ron and I often write 4 different versions of the exam papers at midterm and the final exam for our elementary classes in maths and stats. And I warn the students about this. I say, if you get the right answer to somebody else's question, you're in trouble. Takes a while for them to grasp this. Sometimes I wonder if here we sometimes are sure we have the right answer, but it's the right answer to somebody else's question. Maybe it's not the one that God's asking us. One of our colleagues met the copying at the first midterm test soon after he'd arrived, and he started the next class by saying, I know we all agree that corruption in politics and public life in Pakistan must cease. It's ceasing in this class today. It clarifies to us that standards of honesty and integrity do not just happen in a society, but are rooted in moral and spiritual values, which in our society are based on the Bible. In the letter to Titus, Paul identifies honesty or uprightness as a result of God's dawning of grace, bringing salvation to all. The college sometimes has unscheduled holidays forced upon it. In the last term when we were there, we had closures for 2 days due to flooding after unexpected monsoon rain in September, with 1 day closure due to road closures for a political demonstration by Imran Khan, and then the two weeks of Christmas holidays suddenly became 3 weeks of enforced government closure after the serious terrorist incident in Peshawar. Now, the college is a Christian college, but 13% of the students are Christians and the remainder are Muslim. The majority of the students are Muslim. Both the Muslim and Christian students benefit from meeting each other. In both cases, but especially for Muslims, it might often be the first opportunity to get to know people of the other faith well. For Christians, it might be their first opportunity to be confident about their faith in a non-threatening environment. There's not just the Muslim-Christian divide. There are minority sects of Islam, and minority sects of the Muslim faith are well represented in our college because everybody's welcome to come. And about a third of the university are now women, and it's lovely to see the proportion of women increasing. Our college encourages students to grow in their faith. There's a mosque and a church on the site, and students are obliged to include at least one course on Islam or Christianity in their degree, and they can, if they wish, make either Christianity or Islam a major part of their degree. The Islamic Society holds meetings in which matters are discussed in an open way, which is rare in Pakistan. And our Christian chaplain is invited to speak to students on the Islamic degree each year.
Most important for the Christian students is the Christian Life program, which is managed by students with the support of the chaplains. It provides regular opportunities for Bible study and prayer. And as you know, Friday is a day in which Muslims in particular go to the mosque. So our college has a time free of any teaching between 1 and 2 every Friday. That time is when a lot of Muslim students go to the mosque, and the Christians also have a service in the chapel. For some students, That is an opportunity to hear about Jesus for the very first time. Even though they've come from a Christian community, there's nominal Christianity there as here, and they may not have had any teaching or even ever have gone to church in their own community. So it can be for many a strengthening in their faith, and for others, the first time that they've come to Christ. One of the students in the next slide is, this person is a graduate. For example, he graduated in mathematics just 2 years ago. His father had started a school, a Christian school, in their home. And this student is now continuing the school. It's held in one room of their house with 50 pupils. He's hoping that they can get enough money to build a bigger room for more students. He's hoping also, with the support of others, that he can start some training for both the women and the men students after they finish school, and give them some practical training so that they have a better chance of getting a job. Many of them, especially the women, wouldn't be allowed to go to the city of Lahore to train. And so especially training for women in their hometown is important. His commitment is to Jesus Christ. He was speaking to us yesterday evening, in fact, and that is all the time evident, that it's Christ who's his motivation and his commitment. Another student here, he's teaching in a missionary school, and again, his commitment to his people was greatly strengthened in the college. We hope that our university's reputation for respecting the faith of all students and providing opportunities to practice their faith without threat or violence will continue. And we trust that our students will take that message of what they have learnt in working together out into the world when they graduate. Our college's motto is from Galatians, "By love, serve one another." We hope that that will be what students do in their lives. We believe that God has a purpose for our college in Pakistan, and that through our graduates, by God's grace, they will bring change to the country. In November and December, Muslim and Christian students joined in an act of sympathy for the bereaved. In November, it was in memory of a Christian couple who had been cruelly murdered at a brickworks near Lahore, allegedly because they'd committed blasphemy. In December, it was to express sympathy at the brutal murder of 132 pupils and 9 teachers in a Peshawar school.
The attack on a school in Peshawar on the 16th of December shocked the world. It shocked Pakistan. On the 18th of December, we were at a Christian gathering. The Bishop of Lahore said that the angel at Christmas had said, "Fear not. The angel is talking to us," he said. And Herod killed the little children at Christmas. "This story is for us in Lahore," he said. At that time, we had finished our teaching and were starting to mark our exams, but the college was suddenly told to close for 3 weeks. This meant no access to the college for students, and we were asked to try not to go out of the college ourselves. We made a very quick decision with Helen Johnson in the overseas office to come home for Christmas, and we arrived with the Nottingham branches of our family on Christmas Eve. There remains threats to schools and colleges in Pakistan. Remember to pray for teachers of children as they go to work each morning. Think of fathers and mothers getting their children ready and taking them to school, and of children being brave enough to go to school. Please pray for the safety of everyone in Foreman Christian College.
In John chapter 20, we have records of three appearances which Jesus made to his friends after the resurrection. The thoughts of the three were charged with emotion. Mary Magdalene was in grief. The disciples were in fear behind locked doors. And Thomas was sunk in doubt. In each case, Jesus transformed the situation by the calmness of his words and his presence. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. We read Psalm 19, verse 7. Earlier, it reminds us that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Over the centuries, probably the majority of Christians have been illiterate. However, by taking seriously and living by the Word of God, many of those people have become wise by allowing their souls to be constantly revived by the Word of God. The principal of our college reminded our recent Christian graduates, we'd 91 Christian graduates in the past year. And apart from their degree ceremony, there was a gathering just for the Christians. And he reminded them that they were now being sent out to serve. And their wisdom would not rest upon their education, valuable though that may be, but by allowing their hearts and minds to be daily revived by the Word of God. So please pray for our Christian graduates that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they may be salt and light in a new Pakistan. I would like us to join in prayer just now, remembering the Christians and thanking God for what he's doing there. So let us pray. Lord, thank you for speaking through your Spirit to the hearts of many people in Pakistan. Thank you for the prayers and the faith of those who have established Foreman Christian College. We pray that the students and staff who work there may not only have a vision of what their country can be, but may come to a deeper or a first encounter with yourself, who through your suffering and resurrection can turn our lives from despair to hope, from violence to reconciliation, from greed to grace.
We pray for the safety of everyone in Pakistan, for teachers as they go to work each day, for fathers and mothers sending their children to school, and for the children being brave enough to go to school. We pray that the graduates of Foreman Christian College will show standards of integrity that shine like a beacon against the background of corruption, which many people profess to hate but feel powerless to change. We pray that they will know they are sent out to serve one another in love, in their places of work, in their families, and in their relationships with all they meet. We pray that the wisdom of God's word will daily revive their soul, that they may be salt and light in a new Pakistan. We ask all this in the name of our loving Lord Jesus. Amen.